Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton here again with more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. As we get started, Juliana Smoke kicks off our preview of this week's stories.
Thanks, Rod. Today we're going to hear about a creative way young people are learning about missionaries during the Lottie Moon Week of Prayer.
I'm John Graham, and on today's Culture Connection, Todd Starnes is back with us to discuss the assault on religious liberty in the Houston, Texas area.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we connect with a remote missionary by satellite phone who is reaching a hidden and unreached group of people in Sudan, Africa.
I'm Myrna Brown. Dove Award-winning artist Aaron Schutz is with us, and he just released his first Christmas album.
Also today, a Lottie Moon message from David Platt, president of the International Mission Board. So stay where you are for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. The season of prayer and Lottie Moon Christmas offering is a special time for Southern Baptists and younger generations as they learn about international missions and missionaries. With more, here's Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke with a related story.
Janice Stewart is a student mission and ministry volunteer for the Polk Harrelson Baptist Association in Buchanan, Georgia. She wanted to teach the younger generation about Southern Baptist missionaries and help to spark a heart for missions in them. So she helps to host a night where children come and are given the opportunity to learn about and pray for missionaries around the world. It is called Cupcakes and Carols, and Janice Stewart joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello!
Hi, Juliana.
Cupcakes and Carols is during the Lottie Moon Week of Prayer.
Yes, it is. In Southern Baptist churches, each year around Christmas time, we observe a special time of praying and giving to missions around the world, and we call this the Season of Prayer for International Missions and the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. During this time, there are several missionaries that are from foreign countries that are highlighted as our Week of Prayer missionaries, and we wanted to make sure that our churches and our students knew about those and that they were able to pray for those missionaries. So we planned a special event where they could learn about missions, and they could actually learn to be on missions themselves. They could learn how to give to missions. They can learn about missionaries around the world.
Mm-hmm. So you saw the need to teach children about the missionaries who were serving.
Yes. When I was a little girl, I grew up going to Women's Missionary Union with my mother and my aunt. And I had a lot of opportunities to meet missionaries and to learn about missionaries. And I developed a heart for missions. But children are not just born having a heart for missions. They have to be taught about that.
Mm-hmm. And how do you all teach children about missionaries and develop that heart for missions?
One way that we do that is through our cupcakes and carols. What the children do is they come to our camp, which is made from an old school building, which has been transformed into a Baptist assembly center and camp. But when they come into our building, they rotate through various missionary stations that are set up along our halls, and they feature the missionaries that are featured in our Week of Prayer for International Missions. They go around to each one of those stations, and teenagers are there at those stations, and they tell the children about the missionaries and about the cultures. And at each one of those stations, the teenagers lead the children in prayer for that particular missionary and for those cultures. Also, the children are given a little colorful paper chain link that represents the prayer that they prayed for the missionaries. And after they've rotated through all of the missionary stations, we come together and we put those paper chains together and we form a prayer chain, which we decorate our hall Christmas tree with.
Oh, wow. Wow. So just really helping the children feel connected to the missionaries who are serving.
Yes, and it's very beautiful to see the Christmas tree with all those colorful links that really do represent a prayer that a child prayed for missionaries.
Wow. And how many children attend?
Well, last year we had 100 children.
Wow. You know, this must be a multi-church effort to pull this off.
Yes, it really is, and it has to start early. We've contacted the different ladies' groups at the churches, the women's missionary groups at the various churches. We do all have to work together. It's a joint effort to put this program on.
Oh, that's great. And how did you see that it helped to spark an interest in missions with the children?
It gave them the opportunity, a lot of them, for the first time to really hear about different cultures and about the missionaries. I think also because the teenagers actually stopped and prayed for the missionaries, it gave the children the knowledge that we really do need to pray for them, that prayer is very important, and that we don't need to just think about them, but we need to actually lift them up in prayer.
Right, right. And it's just so important to teach the next generation about missions and how the Lord wants to use all of our lives for His glory.
Yes, it is so important for us to teach the next generation. You know, Jesus told us that we were to to go and to preach the gospel, but he also said we were to make disciples. And part of that making disciples is bringing up the next generation to know how to share the gospel and to carry on the work of our church. And we've seen so many times in our Baptist Association how that these young people who have come up through the missions organizations like GAs, Girls in Action, and ACT Teams, Royal Ambassadors, we've seen how that they have grown up to some of them become youth ministers' wives, children's workers in their churches, deacons, and we even have a number of young preachers now who have come up through some of these missions organizations. And that's all part of our job, to not only share the gospel, but to disciple and teach the next generation so that they'll be ready to take those leadership roles in our churches.
We've been speaking with Janice Stewart, student mission and ministry volunteer for the Polk Harrison Baptist Association. Thank you for sharing with us the creative way you found to teach the next generation about missionaries.
And thank you. We appreciate hearing from you, too.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When everyone is asking why, we answer. With help, healing, and hope. We are Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. We answer. To help, visit BaptistRelief.org. A message from the North American Mission Board.
Thank you for listening and being a part of Life with Purpose Radio. Fox Radio commentator Todd Starnes is with us today for an update on the recent story concerning approval of sermons from pastors in Houston, Texas. As we go to John Graham for today's Culture Connection.
The assault on religious freedom in our country escalates every day. Recently, that issue has been front page news in Houston, Texas, where our next guest helped expose the injustice. Fox Radio commentator Todd Starnes is back with us. Todd, I understand there was some things going on with pastors in the Houston area that recently broke. Actually, I think you broke the story, if I understand correctly. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right. Probably one of those stories that resonated across the country and went viral. These mayors had been preaching in their pulpits about a non-discrimination law that, in essence, would give men and women who identify as as being members of the opposite gender, that would give them the option of using the bathrooms of their choice. And in reality, that would mean that a grown man could be using the bathroom next to a 10 or an 11-year-old girl. So many people in the Christian community there in Houston were concerned about this and have been fighting back against City Hall. Out of the blue, the mayor of Houston decided to fight back, and she did that by issuing subpoenas against five pastors there in the Houston area, demanding that they turn over their sermons to the government, and also demanding they turn over any correspondence they had with their parishioners dealing with the issue of homosexuality, gender identity, or the city's so-called equal rights ordinance.
What are the implications of that?
John, the implications are huge, and this is an issue that I write about extensively in my book, God Bless America. I predicted that we would come to a point in American history where the government would start targeting pastors and churches because of their beliefs in traditional biblical values. And I think that the reason why this really resonated with people is that they understood that this was government overreach at its worst. And I believe that as a result of the outrage and the fury, that is why the mayor decided to eventually drop those subpoenas. But John, I don't believe that this was really about the subpoenas. I believe this was about the government sending a message to every pastor in America that if you dare speak out against our policies in your pulpit, we might come after you. So I think this was an issue of intimidation. This was an issue of bullying.
And with that in mind, you don't think this is a settled issue. It will be happening again, right?
Oh, I don't believe it is settled at all. As a matter of fact, just a week after that story popped up, we had a report of a situation in Idaho where an ordained couple, two ministers, husband and wife, were told they had to perform same-sex unions at their wedding chapel, and that if they failed to do so, they would face a $1,000 fine for every violation, and they would face 180 days in jail. So I believe these types of things are going to continue. I believe that pastors are going to have to be diligent. And quite frankly, John, I'm afraid many pastors are finally going to have to take a position on issues that they've previously been silent on. 13% of elected voters went to the polls and voted on Election Day. So in effect, I believe that the Christians who chose not to vote, I believe they're partly responsible for what happened, because had they voted, there's a pretty good chance that she would not have been mayor of Houston, Texas. There's a line in my book, bad things happen when good people don't vote. Houston, Texas is a great example of that.
Are we nearing the tipping point?
I can't help but think we are, and here's the reason why. It all revolves around hate speech. So eventually, John, I believe that somebody is going to, a light bulb is going to come on somewhere, and they're going to say, well, wait a second, where are all these people getting this stuff from? Well, where do you think they're getting it from? They're getting it from the Bible. This is where, you know, we have our beliefs. We get our beliefs from the Bible. And I believe one day they're going to go after that Bible. And I believe they're going to go after the churches. And I believe the first way they're going to go after the churches is to go after the tax-exempt status of any church that opposes gay marriage.
Mm. Well, Todd, thank you so much for what you do. You say you're just a reporter, but you're definitely making a difference, and we appreciate having a good old Southern Baptist, Georgia Baptist, in fact, up there making a difference. So thank you so much.
Well, it's an honor, John, and thank you very much, and I hope you have a great day.
All right. Todd Starnes with Fox News Channel commentary, and also toddstarnes.com. You don't want to miss a single post that he has. Until next time, I'm John Graham, bringing you The Culture Connection.
Every week on Life with Purpose Radio, we present stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. And as you hear the stories, we hope you are encouraged to live your life with purpose. Why not tell us your story or give us your comments about today's program or more information on today's stories by emailing us stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, Twitter @LWP Radio. And Facebook/LWP Radio. Once again, that's both LWP Radio for both Facebook and Twitter. And let us hear from you today. And yes, we have a free book offer still standing. It's the hardback edition of Words of Life, a devotional book from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/free book. One more time, lifewithpurposeradio.com/free book. Fill in the short form when you get there, and it's absolutely yours free for being a listener to the program. Well, now back to our stories. Myrna, who's on the way?
Thanks, Rod. Dove Award-winning artist Aaron Schutz is with us, and he just released his first Christmas album. Find out how it's both ancient and modern.
Thanks, Myrna. Also ahead is an encouraging message about Lonnie Moon from David Platt, the new president of the International Mission Board. Right now, though, Ron Lawson has the story of Mission Sudan.
We really don't think about it much, but there are still people in the world who are hidden away from our view. They may be in the Amazon jungle or the bush country of Africa, yet they are people whom God created and loves. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a missionary by satellite phone who is telling the story of God's love with just that kind of group. Let's listen.
I'm glad to be on the phone today with Robert Lane, an international missionary with the Southern Baptist Convention who has been called to work with the Dinka people in southern Sudan. Robert, thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Robert, I know you were born in Texas and raised on a farm in Tennessee, and when you were 20, you went into full-time ministry through Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, which is a Christian camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Then God called you into international missions while you were there, and you joined the Extreme Team in Peru. And now God has led you and your wife, Meredith, to Sudan, back in the wilderness to work with the Dinka people there. It sounds to me like you're kind of a guy who really enjoys adventure.
Well, I do, and it's kind of part of the calling. We enjoy it. It certainly has been an adventure since Christ called me at the age of 20. And yes, I must say these past 10 years have certainly been an adventure.
Well, Robert, we want to say thank you for your commitment to Christ and your desire to serve Him on mission in Africa. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you're working among the Dinka people group there and what kind of people these are and some of the challenges that you have in communicating the gospel?
We work with the Dinka Rec. They are an unreached and formerly unengaged population segment of the Dinka, which is the largest tribe in South Sudan. My wife and I, we are here with the Echelon team. And there are a lot of challenges that we encounter. One is geography. We're pretty far out here. The other is a limited access to the gospel. This people group does not yet have the full Bible translated in their language. And so when we're teaching stories of the Old Testament, we're doing some of the translation ourselves as we go through and teach the stories of creation, of Moses, of David. That's a barrier. We've been intensely studying the Dinka life and language for the past year, which has given us more of a capacity to share the beautiful message of Christ with them. So that's much of our time is spent with the Dinka, learning who they are, learning their lifestyles and rhythms, learning their culture, and learning the language in order to make Jesus Christ more meetable through us. Also, this is an area that historically and presently has had a tremendous amount of insecurity. We go through periods of lockdown. Sometimes those are extended period up to 2 weeks where we're not able to leave our house. We live for periods of months with some pretty intense security, and we have a contingency plan and evacuation plan. Basically, at all times, by the grace of God, we've been able to live here in South Sudan over this past year. And we've been able to see dozens of people come to know Christ. We've been able to see new churches planted. And we've been able to see the kingdom grow here in South Sudan.
That's amazing, Robert. And it truly is inspiring to us because we know there are different tribes and warriors and not a great deal of security. And you're in a place where folks are not friendly necessarily with a Christian missionary. But we're grateful that you're there working and wonder if you might just have a story that you could tell us about an individual whose life you've seen changed by the power of the gospel.
I will. I'll tell you a story about a man named Moses Akel Abiem. When he was 15 years old, he walked barefoot to Ethiopia. He joined the military in the Second Sudanese Civil War. He fought in the bush for 21 years, and during that time, he was able to meet some Christians. Some of these Christians were former military personnel from America that had come to help train some of the soldiers and to train some of the combat chaplains that served in the Civil War. He heard about the message of Christ and his whole life changed. He was injured multiple times, and through his injuries and through his incredible story, he was able to understand who was his true protector, who was his true savior, and that was Jesus Christ. He was able to get some discipleship and understand what it is to lead a church and to plant a church. He came to Kwadjok, to Wadab State, which is his ancestral territory, and there, under a tree, he started the first Baptist church there in Wadab State. Him and his wife would beat a drum, they would sing songs to God, and he would tell stories out of the Bible. He began to pray that someone would come to help him, and in 2013, we were able to come help Moses RPM. Together, we've spent the last year planning churches together, training national leaders. We've been able to see nearly 200 people baptized, but it all started with the ministry of this man named Moses.
That's an incredible story, Robert. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and we want you to know that we love you and Meredith and your two-year-old son, Shepherd, and we're praying for you day in and day out, and it's also our joy to support your ministry through the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for International Missions and through the Cooperative Program. I wonder if you might just share with our listeners here as we come to a point of conclusion how we might pray for you all.
Please pray for us. Pray that we would be courageous in the face of any adversity, that we would make Jesus Christ first in every area of our life. We are so grateful for your prayers. We encounter various struggles. My wife is pregnant now. We should have a new one sometime around March, so please be praying for that. And also, pray for the believers in South Sudan that they would be bold into areas that may not be safe, that may not be welcoming to the gospel, and to make disciples of all nations and of all people. So pray for us as we continue to proclaim the message boldly and to see Christ known where he is not.
We're so grateful, Robert, for you and Meredith and Shepherd and for your willingness to be in a tough place of ministry there in Sudan, working among the Dinka people there. We want you to know that we love you for your commitment and for the sacrifices that you're making. And we'll be praying for you and gladly supporting your ministry. Just be assured of our prayers in the days ahead. And thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you so much. We love y'all very much, and we're grateful for your prayers.
For more information on Southern Baptist International Missions, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Christian artist Aaron Schust has released a new collection of Christmas songs. And Life with Purpose Radio's Myrna Brown caught up with Aaron to talk about Christmas and the music on his new project.
Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given.
Dove Award-winning artist Aaron Schutz has released his first Christmas project, and he's here on Life with Purpose Radio to tell us all about it. Hi, Aaron. Welcome back.
Hello, Myrna. Good to be back.
Always good to talk to you. So this new project, this Christmas project, your very first one, it's called...
Unto Us, yes.
Yes. So this is something, I understand, that you have been wanting to do your entire life.
Absolutely. Grew up in a house full of music in general, full of church music and more specific, as my mom was the music director for our small little church outside of Pittsburgh where I am still attending and serving and on the elder board. And so a big part of music is preparation for Christmas music. So even as a kid, the house was always full of the sounds of whatever Christmas cantata we were going to be singing next. As the choir started rehearsing it in September, my mom was listening through options in May. You know, as soon as Easter was done, she's picking out Christmas stuff. So, I mean, the house was always full of Christmas music. When I was in ninth grade was when Michael W. Smith came out with his very first Christmas album called Christmas, mm-hmm. full of orchestra and choir and majestic, sacred-sounding music. And I fell in love with it. It became... That style of music and even that record in specific became the soundtrack for my, you know, Christmas season. And so when I knew that I had the opportunity to make a Christmas record one of these days, I think even before the record label came to me, I came to them and said, what do you think about a Christmas record and could it sound like this?
You embarked on, I want to call it a worldwide adventure to get this project produced. Tell us about it. It's exciting to hear.
I actually began writing the songs about 3 years ago. I began on my birthday writing the song Unto Us, which became the title track of the record. And I began writing the song simply at my piano in my living room, but with strings and orchestra and choir in mind. And I wrote Gloria shortly after that, the simple, using the Latin text. Of the angel's announcement, glory to God in the highest, glory in excelsis Deo. The whole time I'm thinking this needs to be for choir and orchestra. So I began to work with David Hamilton, a fantastic composer, orchestrator, conductor, works with Michael W. Smith. So I got to sit down with him and start writing this stuff. And we knew we were going to try to contact the Prague Symphony Orchestra and book a date with them. And sure enough, on Valentine's Day, we had flown to the Czech Republic in Eastern Europe, and we recorded the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, which is special for me because I have already owned a few records by them.
One of your goals is to make sure people understand what we're celebrating.
I like to talk about the rescue mission God was on in sending his son to save us. I can be easily found guilty of, during the Christmas season, even though I don't focus on Santa Claus. You know, my kids and I will still watch Polar Express, and I love the imagery that exists. But I can be found guilty of being caught up in baby Jesus, and only baby Jesus. Asleep on the hay, no crying did he make, and forget the fact that, boy, this is God in the flesh. This is the omnipotent, all-powerful God become a baby so that he could grow up and die on the cross for our sins. It's a rescue mission to save his beloved people from death. And that is the story of Christmas.
I love the term rescue mission. I love that term. It just never heard it quite expressed that way. So thank you for that. I have to ask, because of course you are in Pittsburgh. That's where you're from, and that's where you live. But you know what? I have to ask you. Do you miss Toccoa Falls? Because you spent time here in Georgia.
I do. You know what? I do miss it. I miss it. And today happens to be a beautiful day here in Pittsburgh. The sun is shining. It's blue, just like Georgia. And there's a nice breeze, like Georgia. And I'm sitting in a sunroom, so it feels like Georgia. You know what, Myrna? The pulled pork barbecue sandwich is becoming a popular item around the world. So thankfully, for a while, I missed it moving back up here. That might be one of my favorite things about the South.
That's what you miss most. You're making us hungry. Stop it. Aaron, it is always such a pleasure to talk to you. And we're so excited about this new project, Unto Us. And let me be the first to say, Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you so much, Myrna. Merry Christmas to you, too.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment features a special Lottie Moon message from David Platt, president of the International Mission Board, now on Life with Purpose Radio.
The thought of thousands of churches coming together one time a year to give together specifically for the spread of the gospel to unreached peoples in a way that 100% of what we give toward one offering goes specifically to supporting missionaries who are spreading the gospel to unreached peoples around the world. That's an awesome thought. And then to think this has been happening for over 100 years since Lottie Moon first started writing letters to encourage and exhort churches to come together to give, to send more missionaries. And the way that's evolved since then. Churches today who publicize and talk in their churches about Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and others who may not use that nomenclature necessarily, but are still doing the same thing, saying we want to give as a part of a bigger picture where we're joining together with other churches to get the gospel to people who never have heard it. To be a unified picture of us saying, as a group of churches, we want to give for the spread of the gospel in the world because that's what we see together in the Word. Help your church see, one, what the Word says about global mission, and two, help us realize this great, awesome reality that we have an opportunity to be a part of during this season in which we're celebrating when Christ came to the earth to save us from our sins, that we want to give together with thousands of other churches. I'm excited praying that God might use His Word to propel His people to give more to the world during this season through this offering.
On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. And we hope these stories have inspired you to live life with purpose as you heard about learning about missionaries, pastors in Houston, Texas, Mission Sudan, Aaron Schust Christmas, and David Platt with the International Mission Board. We'll see you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.